I've got a question, and where this is going to go, I'm not real sure. Reva and I talked about it a lot, and it just kept expanding and expanding. It's like leaven in a bread. It just keeps going and going. How do we know that there is a heaven? How do we know that there is a world beyond this? You know, when you look at the Bible and you hear all of those stories and those exciting things, you've got to remember all of those stories, and if you divide every story up over 4,000 years, there's a lot of time between it. But it looks like God was incredibly active in the Old Testament in many ways. And then we look at the New Testament, and heaven broke into this earth. It's the first time that heaven made an appearance on this earth. Up until that point, we had no idea there was another world. And as we learn from him, we're surrounded by this world. But how do we know we're surrounded by this world? A world we can't see, but they can see us. So when this being from another world entered into this world, what was he like? Well, we weren't really sure, because he said, I didn't come here to build myself up. I came to tell you about my Father. Well, Jesus said, I must go, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not talk about himself. He talks about the Son and what the Son did. And who did the Son talk about? The Father. And who does the Father talk about? The Son. It's amazing. And he says, when he comes, what are the signs that you know there is a spiritual world? Now, has anyone here been in touch with that world? Has anyone here heard that world or heard of someone from that world? And they tell us that even in this room, there could be one sitting among us that looks like a human being. That could be an angel. No, Ernie. But we wouldn't know that. We're told that when we raise from the grave, the first one to meet us is going to be whom? Our guardian angel. And when we see him, we say, I know you. How are we going to know that? Why doesn't he tell me? Why doesn't he pull on my sleeve and share with me who he is? Would that increase my belief? Not at all. Because God...
His name is Michael.
Okay. Yeah. That's a start. You look at what the people, when Jesus did show up, God himself showed up, walked among us, and remember his brother James didn't even recognize who he was. The greatest blow to him was when he found out this was God that I ate with, I slept with, I watched for all my life. I saw him, didn't know he's God. So if your angel showed up, is it possible that an angel from the other side could show up? How are you going to tell the difference? He says, if that happens, even the very elect could be deceived. So, how does God let us know there is another world? You have faith in that world, or you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. How do you know that? What gives you that evidence? And you're staking your entire life, your entire eternal life on that belief. Well, what's your foundation? Well, how do you know? It seems like God would do something. Now, what did the Jews do? When he was here. Sorry?
Against the wall.
What do you mean?
The Jews lean against the wall when they're praying to God to make sure that he hears them. They hit their head.
Okay. But what did they ask for? He did all these signs.
They asked for a sign.
Well, surely God would look like God, wouldn't he? He said there was no attractiveness, nothing about him that would attract us to him. Remember when he first showed up? He walked among the people on the shore of the river. Nobody recognized him. John had to say, "Behold the Lamb of God." They were waiting for this. Their whole society was planning on this. Behold the Lamb of God. What we have been waiting for everyone's life has been the Lamb of God. John pointed him out. People glanced over their shoulder and went on about listening to John and his sermons. So why doesn't God make himself more visible? When Jesus left, what evidence did he give us of what the Father is like? How do we know?
Since if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes. But they didn't see anything in him that looked like a God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, what did they really see? Because when people spent any time with him at all, remember when the first disciples spent just the smallest amount of time, they went and just ecstatically proclaimed, "We found the Messiah." And when they came to see him, they were looking around, "Who did you find?" And one of them, Philip, looked at him, and he was disappointed until Jesus said, "I saw you sitting under the fig tree. I knew what you were reading. You were reading about the coming of the Messiah." He was reading the story of Joseph and the ladder ascending, the angels ascending and descending. Jesus knew that. Not only did he see him under the fig tree, he quoted what he was reading at the time. And what did he say? "Oh, you must be the Messiah." Well, why doesn't he do that now? Why doesn't he make that evident? tell me, what is the sure foundation, belief, evidence that you rest your case upon? How would you convince another person that knows nothing about God? What is our first reaction? Yes. Yes. And so we take our Bible and try to prove that, and they say, well, I wonder what the other 43,000 official churches say about him too. Boy, we sort of slink into insignificance real quick like. And every one of them believe they have the answer. They are the way. Last week and this week is the only evidence we'll ever get there is a God. What we said last week?
Fruit.
Fruit. Now, let's be clear. Was it fruits or was it fruit? Fruit. What's the significant about that?
It all there's non division in it. It's all one.
Okay. In other words, when you get it, you get the whole thing. You don't get this one and then this one and then this one and then you add to this and then you learn all these others. It all comes in one package. Well, what is that package?
The Holy Spirit.
Sure. And what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? What do we get? Did you teach last week? Who was here?
Most of them.
So what did he bring in the fruit?
Faith.
Pardon?
Faith.
What's some other fruit?
Love and
faith. Okay. 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 Am I making you uncomfortable?
Those fruits represent the character of God.
Absolutely. When he says there's love and kindness and patience, it goes on with all of this fruit. And it's never in part. Well, can we duplicate any of that fruit? Can we duplicate one of those that mentioned that fruit? Can you remember which ones they are? Notice, every single word in there, it is totally impossible for man to produce it. Well, wait a minute. That's the character of God. That's what Jesus revealed to us, was that fruit. That fruit is the pure picture, the unadulterated picture of what God is like. So if that is what God is like, and we cannot produce one piece of it, what is the evidence then that God is in our life? The fruit. The fruit. That is the only evidence that there is another world. Because everything else the devil can reproduce, any sign God can produce, the devil can produce it. Where did we see that?
The story of Moses.
Exactly. When Moses was here, I think it was the first four or five of those plagues, the devil reproduced them and topped them. So he could produce all kinds of signs. He could produce an angel that comes down and talks with you. But wait a minute. Didn't an angel show up when Jesus was in the wilderness? Huh. And what did he tell him? For the first two, Jesus had no idea. Because he looked like an angel. The only question was, he detected in what he was telling him that this isn't an angel. And, you know, it seemed like it was good. Now, I've come to minister to you. You finished your test. You've done beautifully. And now God is here, has sent me here to nourish you. And by the way, I have been told that there is a rebel that is loose. There is a deceiver that is loose. Who else heard this message? Word for word. Did Adam and Eve know there was a rebel? They were told everything. Same scenario. When the devil came to Jesus, it was exactly the same as it was in the Garden of Eden. And the offer from the devil was exactly the same. Here. I'm from heaven. So far, so good. Here, look at me. Everything about my physique looks like I'm one sent from heaven. So far, so good. There's a rebel in the universe. That's right. So far, so good. And by the way, he told me to test to see if you truly are, because the implication is God would never abandon his loved one like this. So I've got to check you out. If you indeed are the Son of God, make these stones into bread. Bingo. Instantly. So folks, when you look at the evidence, do you know what the devil wants us to believe, what the evidence is? What will you do to get from here to there? How will you do that?
Believe in Jesus.
Believe is a cornerstone. But then what comes? What are we told? What do we have the temptation to do?
Work away.
That's right. Somehow to work our way up. How do we do that? What do we do? Okay, everybody stand up. Is that what we do? How do we do that? How does he fool us into that? And what are some of the things that he tells us that are sure signs? Well, be sure and get into the right church.
Go the right day.
Pay your money. That's a sign of sacrifice. You got to love your brother. Well, which one? What if they don't behave the way I do? What if they don't act the way I do? What if they love one another in a different way than I do? What are we going to do? Therefore, we've got to conform to something. And there is nothing that is characteristic of heaven and God that we can produce. Only God can produce it. And he says, when you make that initial statement, I believe. Well, what is the basis that we have that belief in? We know what we're doing isn't working, or we wouldn't be looking for a solution. That's the way I was, but I didn't know what I was looking for. And God just happened to provide a source for me to enter into that, but he had a whole lot to teach me that I had no idea. Folks, the one sign that God will give you that there is another world is the day you stop and you look in the mirror and you ask the question, who did this to me? How did this happen? I find in this world that is so dark, so desperate, I find joy. Where'd that come from? I find peace. Where'd that come from? Money is elusive. Power is elusive. Friendships is elusive. What can I trust in? But all of a sudden, I have joy. Who put that there? Your wonderful friend, the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, you know, we think we can duplicate love. Boy, we took a walk this morning, and that one question about what is love just kept hitting us and hitting us and hitting us, and we're trying to put all this together, trying to find out, what is this love? And it's something we absolutely can't produce. It can look like love. I can love you and want you in my life, and let me be nice so you give me what I want. That's not love. But you can't produce it. But the day that you realize that you are loving people that you used to hate, all of a sudden you begin asking yourself. You start having patience, whereas before it was always irritability. You start demonstrating a kindness that you didn't do before. Who did this to me? Only the Holy Spirit brings that. And he never brings it in part. He always brings the whole package. Well, does that mean that I just instantly have this stuff? No, I begin looking in my life and I find out that here are these characteristics of God. And I find myself interacting with people and I find myself being highly impatient. And I say, Father, there's something different here. Because you came into my life and you are like this, and look the way I acted. He says, exactly. May I help you? May I help you? I'm knocking at the door. Will you let me in? And when you notice these things, will you ask me? Father, would you replace my impatience with patience? So it's involved with life that our character is demonstrated what we have. And every time The Holy Spirit is not there saying, aha, I caught you. Now what did you do that for? God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. But it's when I recognize that I'm doing something that acts very much opposite of what the kingdom of God is like, that I fall on my knees or I open up my heart and I say, dear Father, would you please reproduce in me the character of Jesus? Jesus sits there as a subject, as an artist's subject. He is the, what do they call them? By the way, I took art up at UTA with my daughter, and the teacher said, we're going to have some drawing lessons today, and we're going to bring a person in so you can learn how to draw a human body. So a lady walks in, disrobes, lies down up front. That's a little difficult for a father with his daughter. Now, how do you draw that part of the body? How do you do that? And so I sort of turned my back on my daughter, and I was trying to draw this without being embarrassed. Both of us were looking at this. This is a little awkward here. Yeah. But here is Jesus sitting before us as that artist object that he is reproducing. Make me just like that. And it's not me trying to copy him. It's that person that the Holy Spirit then comes and begins shaping that life after the similitude of Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So, in life, if you find out that sometimes you're not acting too well, there was a statement, I think it was Ministry of Healing, I think 43, that said, if your children do not want to go to heaven because they don't want to go anywhere where people like you are, that's a pretty good sign some work needs to be done. That if that kind of person is going to be in heaven, I don't want to be there. So what are people seeing? What I'm trying to help you understand is the one thing that we can know, that the world is there, that world is there, is seeing God reproducing his character within us. And we're the ones that stop and are shocked at what he's done inside of us. There'll be no other sign. And when you come to the place where your relationship says, I'm no longer serving a master, I'm now serving a friend. My God is a friend. All of a sudden, all those requirements, all those things seem to fade away. Now, what is the difference between a fruit and a gift? What do you think that difference is? Is there a difference between fruit and gifts?
Yes.
What's the very first thing that you notice, or that I noticed? I didn't know if you noticed that or not. But the one, it was fruit. And the very first thing I noticed, it was
gifts,
plural. Well, God is asking us to do the impossible. Well, how are we going to get that done? Only through the gifts. Do you know that if all of us went somewhere and said, we're going to start a church, that everything that church needs to survive and thrive and grow is in this room? God will give us gifts, but He never gives anybody all the gifts. Gifts, they're plural. And what are those for? Well, a lot of people think those gifts are signs that God is with us. What is the first gift that you have heard is a sign that God approves you and you've moved to that higher level of connection with God? Pardon? The gift of tongues. If you can speak with the gifts of tongues, and I'm not here trying to make anyone feel badly, but that is a sign. And I shared with you our experience of the gift of tongues, which was just a man speaking in German in front of a person who never heard it before, and that evidently was the gift of tongues. But we look for those things as signs that God is with us. And the moment that we do that, we're slipping on the same foundation that the devil would love for us to be. But if we were going out and starting a church, every gift would be in this room. Now, I'm going to take a chance. I'd like for you to tell me, when you look at Ernie,
you know, driving over here, Sue said, well, I can't tell you what she said. She's on this one. And finally, I took my phone out and said, is this Kick Ernie Day?
Take Ernie. What gifts are evident in his life?
He likes to talk.
Okay. What gifts do you see?
Gift of humor.
Absolutely. What other gifts do you see? I come to this Sabbath school when I'm not teaching to hear him.
Gift of caring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't know that, get in the hospital and find out who's the one, first one. Your teachings are coming through. You know, you just ruined us for the rest of our time. What else do you notice? Yes. Pardon?
Connection with
you. Absolutely. What else do you notice?
Teacher.
These are compliments. Do you see any leadership quality?
Yes.
Absolutely. See, we've been traveling with he and Sue for, 7 years? You talk about intimate moments. And to see how God works in us, that we've grown as we've been trying to expose to people the character of God and the impact it has on us. One of the beauties about being a therapist is not what you're doing for other people, but what you're finding out about yourself. That's the thing that causes you to grow. And so I'm feeding on what I do. I keep going back to that scripture, don't muzzle the ox that grinds the wheat. I'm benefiting from all of that. So if you look around and you see people around you, what gifts do you notice? And the beauty is, nobody in this room is giftless. Not one of you. And your gift is something God has given. Now, we have a very dear friend that was just diagnosed with cancer in the last week. They still don't know exactly what it is. They don't know if they're going to operate or not. How come we can't do what they did in the New Testament? When Jesus was here, he preached and then he performed miracles. How come we don't see that today? Wouldn't that be a sign that God is with us? Actually, God took that whole procedure and turned it the other way around because the devil would love to use healing as a sign that he exists. And we see all kinds of evidence of it. Heal! Well, that person must be of God. Look, they're walking or they're doing whatever. Praise God, look what he's done. God took it all and turned it entirely backwards and said, I gave you the health message, I gave you sanitariums, I gave you insights on how this body works. Sometimes that will be the opening wedge so that you can share with other people what kind of God we have. God will not manifest himself today by doing miracle healings. That shocked me. Let me read. I had no idea. It was in last week's. The way in which Christ worked was to preach the word and to relieve suffering by miraculous works of healing. But I am instructed that we cannot now work in this way, for Satan will exercise his power by working miracles. We don't know what it is. There's an unknown world there, and he has all kinds of powers. By working miracles, God's servants today could not work by means of miracles because spurious works of healing, claiming to be divine, will be wrought. For this reason, the Lord has marked out a way in which his people are to carry forward a work of physical healing, combined with the teaching of the word. Sanitariums are to be established. And with these institutions are to be connected workers who will carry forward genuine medical missionary work. Thus, a guarding influence is thrown around those who come to the sanitariums for treatment. I had no idea that that's what God was doing. Notice, we don't have those. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you believe that that's not the power of God, mm-hmm. or is it the power of the devil, or should we even question that?
Yeah. And healings do take place. We know that. We've seen that. We've seen healings take place. We nearly lost this man not too long ago. So we know that healing is there. The moment we begin emphasizing that, we've opened ourselves up for the devil. So, we have to
take... Message.
Pardon?
The moment that becomes our message.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, there are healings. But when they are at the forefront of what we're about, or as an evidence, we have just fallen prey to what the devil can do. So God's going to heal. Never stop him. I bet you many of you in here can say there were times that you felt the presence of God, the power of God. Look what's happened in your life for healing. But the moment we make that a sign, we are open for deception. Now, yes, Ron.
I feel like
speak of the discernment is where I'm going.
Oh, yes.
As a gift.
Yes.
And I think of gifts as abilities.
Yes.
We're all given aptitudes, we're all given certain abilities.
Yes.
We really want to admit,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, but it's there. And one of them that was on that list that we were talking about, wisdom and knowledge and healing, but one of them that I flagged and I thought is discernment.
Absolutely.
The ability to differentiate and to recognize, you know, that flash in the pan that versus mm-hmm. the real character.
Yes.
And I think that discernment is something that we all could say, yeah, that's something that I really want. I want to evaluate and I want to take advantage.
Yes.
Of the fact that God gave me a little bit of common sense at least.
Mm-hmm.
He expects us to use it, and we can use the evidences that are given to us through Scripture, through friends, through whatever, the education, to discern what is it from God and what is it that's from the artificial.
Absolutely. And what you're saying is the answer to what Randy just brought up. There's healing. How do I discern that this is from God? How do I learn that it could be from the devil? Now, I want to use the last minutes to emphasize something. All the fruit is preceded by what word? Love. Every gift is preceded by the word love. That it is only in connection with God that those are produced. And it comes from a heart of God that could do nothing else. And we are the ones that prevent those fruit, that fruit, from being manifested in our life. One of the illustrations that Reva gave this morning in our walk was the birth of a baby. Now, when a baby is born, it was connected to that mother while it was in the womb. As soon as it's separated from the mother, what has to happen before that baby lives? Has to reconnect with that mother. And that life-giving nutrients come from that mother. When you look at the character of God, when you look at the problem of sin, we as the children of God were born into this world disconnected. And it is in connection with Him that life flows in. And that life shows itself up in the character of God. And what is the character of God? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, on and on. That's the evidence that there is another world. That's the evidence that God is within me. And remember, in the Bible, in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, it talks about the gifts. And right after that is the chapter on love. I could have any one of those gifts and recognize that that is from God, and I can demonstrate that in all kinds of ways. But if I do not have love, it is worthless. It will never be used to build up the body of Christ, but it's something that I've taken to build up myself. So I can take the gifts of God and turn them around for my own betterment. And I am no better than a clanging bell. Clanging cymbals that means absolutely nothing. So when I find that these evidences that I look for, that there is a heaven and that God is within me, I look at the fruit. And when that love is within me, I look at the gift that God has given me. The fruit appears in everybody. The gifts are as diverse as nature itself. Everyone has all kinds of them. And when you see another person manifesting a certain fruit or a certain gift, to rejoice, to encourage them. But that gift is always there in love to build the body of Christ, not to build up the self. Nothing that God gives us can be reproduced by human beings. It's all because of God. Without me, you can do how much? Nothing. But I can do how much? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Father in heaven, I praise you for what you try to help us to understand. How you take us as little infants, and the very fact that we are born into this world separated, and only love would be compelled to do what love did. Love in your heart drove you to reconnect us. Love in your heart persists with us even in our rebellion. Love in our heart will cause us to grow more and more like you. And Father, we find out that love in our heart causes us to see every other human being as our brother and sister in Christ. And that passion for love, that passion for human beings will drive us to be aware that when you, the Holy Spirit, wants us to be able to reach somebody else, to gladly submit to whatever you have in your mind, whatever you have in your plan, that the character of Christ will be revealed in us, and that people were wondering, what happened? Where did this come from? Why do you act the way you do? I want to be what you are. Please, Father, help us that we may reveal your glory in this world. And thank you so much for this class, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.